samurai-dominated women, lace and silk and leather, and I used props. I loved props. Whips, handcuffs, ropes, dildos, there was nothing like this in tax law. Although I wear them from time to time in my new line of work, and they serve quite nicely. There were no props in corporate law. No wetness, no dark, mysterious foreplay. No erect nipples, no delicious mouths. But mainly, there was no moaning. Not the kind that I'm talking about, anyway. This was the key I see now. Moaning was the thing that ultimately seduced me and got me addicted to making women happy. When I was a little girl and I would see women in movies making love, making strange orgasmic moaning sounds, I used to laugh. I got strangely hysterical. I couldn't believe that big, outrageous, uncovered sounds came out of women. I longed to moan. In front of my mirror on a tape recorder, moaning in various keys and various tones. But always when I played it back, it sounded fake. It was fake. It wasn't rooted in anything sexual, really. Only my desire to be sexual. But then when I was 10, I had to pee really badly once. On a car trip. I went for almost an hour, and when I finally got to pee in this dirty little gas station, it was so exciting, I moaned! I moaned as I peed! I couldn't believe it, me, moaning at a Texaco station in the middle of Louisiana. I realized right then that moans are connected with not getting what you want right away. With putting things off. I realized that moans were best when they caught you by surprise. They came out of this hidden, mysterious part of you that was speaking its own language. I realized moans were, in fact, that language. I became a moaner. It made most men anxious. Frankly, it terrified them. I was loud, and they couldn't concentrate on what they were doing. They'd lose focus. They'd lose everything. We couldn't make love in people's homes. The walls were too thin. I got a reputation in my building, and people stared at me with contempt in the elevator. Men thought I was too intense. Some called me insane. I began to feel bad about moaning. I got quiet and polite, and I learned to choke my moan, pull it back like a sneeze. I began to get headaches and stress-related disorders. I was becoming hopeless when I discovered women. I discovered that most women loved my moaning, but more importantly, I discovered how deeply excited I got when other women moaned, when I was responsible for other women moaning. I made love to quiet women, and I found this place inside of them, and they shocked themselves in their moaning. I made love to moaners, and they found a deeper, more penetrating moan. It was a kind of surgery, a kind of delicate science. Finding the tempo, the exact location or home of the moan, that's what I called it. Sometimes I found it over a woman's jeans. Sometimes I snuck up on it. Off the record, quietly disarming the surrounding alarms and moving in. Sometimes I use force. Not repressing force, more like dominating. I'm going to take you someplace, lay back, and enjoy the ride kind of force. Sometimes it was simply mundane. I found the moan before things even started. While we were eating salad or chicken, just casual right there with my fingers, here it is like that. Real simple in the kitchen, all mixed in with the balsamic vinegar. Sometimes I used props. I loved props. Sometimes I made a woman find her own moan in front of me. I waited, stuck it out, until she opened herself. I wasn't fooled by the minor, more obvious moans. No, I pushed her further, all the way into her power moan. There's the clit moan. The vaginal moan. The combo clit vaginal moan. There's the almost moan. The right bonnet moan.
Right there.
The elegant moan. The Irish Catholic moan. The machine gun moan.
Vessel, a Venetian canal, a deep well
for the tiny stuck child waiting to be rescued. I saw the colors of her vagina. They changed. I saw the bruised, broken blue, the blistering tomato red, the gray pink, the dark. I saw the blood-like perspiration along the edges. I saw the yellow-white liquid, the shit, the clots, pushing out all the holes, pushing harder and harder. I saw through the hole the baby's head, scratches of black hair. I saw it just there, behind the bone, a round, hard body. As the nurse from the Ukraine kept turning and turning her silvery hand. I was there with each of us, her mother and I, held a leg and spread her wide, pushing with all our strength against her pushing, as her husband sternly counted, one, two, three, telling her, focus, focus harder. We looked into her then. We couldn't get our eyes out of that place. We forget the vagina, all of us. What else would explain a lack of awe, a lack of reverence? I was there when the doctor reached in with Alice in Wonderland's spoons. And there as her vagina became a wide, operatic mouth, singing with all its strength. First the head, and then the gray flopping arm, and then the fast swimming body swimming quickly into her weeping arms. I was there later when I just turned and faced her vagina. I stood and I let myself see her, all spread, completely exposed, mutilated, swollen, and torn, bleeding all over the doctor's hands, who was calmly sawing her up there. I stood, and her vagina suddenly became a wide, red, pulsing heart. The heart is capable of sacrifice. So is the vagina. The heart is able to forgive and repair. It can change its shape to let us in, and it can expand to let us out, and so can the vagina. It can ache for us, and stretch for us, and die for us, and bleed us into this difficult, wondrous world. I was there in the room. I remember.
If you want to know how some folks feel about vaginas, just look at your names and click through. We are nourished and sustained by her generous left fertility. But don't hesitate to rape her, defile her, assault her, shave and mutilate the marsh grass and trees that protect her. We call her sultry and sexy when we crave her. But after, when we once demean her and dismiss her, we call her swamp and soil. We brag about her music, the way she moves. We beg to get inside her, but it's found her land when she has needs. We use her to entertain us and excite us. Then jealous of her power and embarrassed by our awe, we make her a whore. We take holidays and get lost and happy her embrace. We eat her, we love the fishy taste. We love her spices. But when she is hurting, when she is waiting for help, we ignore her and let her drown. New Orleans is the vagina of America. If we honor her, if we heal her, if we praise her, we change her story and the story of women. Happy 10th anniversary, Vagina Warriors. We will be celebrating each of the 10th in New Orleans, where we chase the story of women and girls. Bring on the next 10 years and invite these women and girls once and for all. I'm inviting you to be there with us to represent your state, your country, your town, your village, your college, your family, and your soul. I'm inviting you to unite with vagina warriors from around the world at Beach of the Tent, where we will plant marsh grass, dance in the streets, turn the super dope into super love. Hear stories honoring the earth and women's bodies, fight for racial justice, demand equitable housing and health care, support men in being vulnerable, eat great food, and conjure revolution. Be there to make history. Eat.
be there if you have any questions or anything. So we all hope you can come out there tonight. We hope you go to the show.